welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Also, on October the 31st from 6 to 8 p.m., please join us in the back parking lot as we will be having fun with the kids at a truck or treating. Everyone is invited to stop by for a trick or treat. Please join us here at Trinity. And please come and check out the crafts at our Frosty Fest Craft and Vendor Market on Saturday, November the 11th from 9 until 1 p.m. We will be featuring homemade items, candles, food, and much more. Come out and enjoy yourselves here at Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho, where the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho to the city of Palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it for your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there at Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the Holy Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in the Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these miracles, signs, and wonders the Lord sent to him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his officials and his holy land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Our sermon this morning is "Whether We Live or Die" by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Thank you, Judy. The Word of God for the people of God. When I came up here this morning, I don't know who the wonderful person was that did it, but my hymnal was opened to our closing song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And through my mind flashed the story behind the man who wrote that song. He had lost his wife and his children. He had lost everything. And he was still able to cling to the Lord and say, "It is well with my soul." I think the hymns that we have today, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," "Standing upon the Promises," "It is well with my soul," are good things for us to cling to. This world is crazy and chaotic. It's hard to say both words at one time. It is often too much for us to handle alone. But we have a good and gracious God who loves each one of us individually, who looks into our souls, who knew us while we were being knitted together in the womb. And our God says, with you I am well pleased. He loves each of us. We are created in His image, and there is nothing that we can do that separates us from God. Sure, we all sin, and we all sin in different ways, but the only unforgivable, unpardonable sin that is listed in the New Testament is blasphemy, turning away from our God, from the Holy Spirit, trying to urge us towards Christ. When we can remember that no matter what disaster befalls us, we have a God who knows us by name before we're born, who knows everything in our lives, and who loves us deeply, we can cling to those everlasting arms, and we can stand upon His promises. Christ tells us that He will be with us unto the end of the age. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab. Deuteronomy 34:5. In life and in death, Moses was a servant of God. He was completely sold out to his God. It didn't matter to him whether he lived or whether he died. It mattered only that he belonged to the Lord and that he served the Lord. And he served the Lord until his final breath. Even though God took him to the crest and let him oversee the land that had been promised to his descendants and said, but you will not enter it. Even though he would not enter the promised land, he served the Lord unto his dying breath. Moses was the only one who has ever had a direct encounter with God the Father. And he cared only for serving him in every way that he can. Paul said in Romans 14:7-8, none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. If we live to the Lord and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. All who trust and believe in God belong to God. We recognize that life itself is a treasured gift, that all the blessings that our Lord pours out upon us are from His hands. And whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to Him. Those words should give us great comfort in these days, that whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. All my life, I grew up with people around me who had committed suicide. When I first came to the Lord, I knew a man who committed suicide. He was 62 years old. He was vibrant. He had his own law business. He was active in the community in every way, including the civic theater. When he died, I'll never forget, sitting at his funeral, I wanted to get up and go to the casket, grab him by the lapel and shake him and say, why did you do this? And I'll let you know why he chose that in a little bit. But what was important to me at that time was I had no understanding of what was going on. It was a little too much for me. I did find comfort in the pastor's message. But no matter what, we belong to God, and nothing but nothing can separate us from Him. This man got up, got dressed, went to his office building. He stepped onto the elevator, and behind him came a young woman. And she said, "Are you going up?" And he said, "No, I'm actually heading down, but today I'm not in any hurry whatsoever. We can go up, and then I'll go back down." When she got off the elevator, she looked at him and she said, "Try to have a nice day." And he said, "I try to have a nice day every day." And then he did something so inexplicable. He went into the basement office, laid down on the floor, and put a bullet to his head. Later, his family stood at his funeral and explained. He had been to the doctor, and the doctor had told him that he had an incurable form of cancer. And he chose, rather than making his family suffer through a long illness, and I'm not saying his choice was right or wrong, he chose to end his life. Some people consider suicide the ultimate sin, that separates you from God forever. I don't believe that. I don't believe that because I know that our good and gracious God knows our state of mind. I know when my son tried to commit suicide a couple of times, I talked to somebody about it, and I was told our God knows our minds, our hearts, and our spirits when we are in torment. Now, am I going to tell somebody who's considering it that it's okay? No, I am not. Do I think what he did was okay? No, I don't. But what I believe is the only unpardonable sin in the Bible, listed in the New Testament, is blasphemy. Every other sin can be forgiven. Turning away from God when the Holy Spirit prompts your spirit is another matter. When we are in the face of God with that prompting and we deny God, we reject Him, but God still does not reject us. Unfortunately, when we reject God, we remove ourselves from the shelter of His love. We remove ourselves from the shelter of His wings. But He does not reject us. He continues to chase us. He continues to pursue us. I read in Scripture that God forgives. Lord, how many times should I forgive? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, "No, I tell you, up to 70 times 7. Or in other words, up into infinity, we are always called to forgive. I hear the Bible telling us that nothing but nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus died upon the cross for each and every one of our sins. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, either present or future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38-39. The man who died wanted desperately to be right with God. His wife found in his pocket an order of confession on a bulletin printed from when he had gone to communion that Wednesday. Every Wednesday morning, he went and quietly received communion. He took that bulletin and that order of confession, and he crossed out the "we" and he wrote "I." And he wrote a note asking his family and his God to forgive him. Now, I'm not saying what he did was right in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm saying, beloved, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, each and every one of us. And the only unpardonable sin is rejecting God. I heard about a rabbi living in the poorest of poor places. A tourist came to visit him because he was a well-known, world-renowned teacher. And he looked upon the rabbi's shabby clothing. And he looked upon his meek and meager surroundings. And he said, "Really? Is this all you have?" And the rabbi smiled. And he said, "Is that suitcase all you have?" And the man said, "Well, but of course, I'm just traveling. I'm just passing through." The rabbi smiled and nodded. And he said, "I am too. Looking forward to meeting with you as we both just passed through." We are passing through. We are strangers here upon this earth. We are foreigners. I was reminded this week that I am a foreigner. But we are all known by our Heavenly Father. And He is what should matter most to us in the world. Life is God's treasured gift to us. What we do with that life is our gift back to God. Do we choose to serve Him? Do we choose to love Him? Do we choose to follow His commandments? Do we choose to be obedient and become baptized? Do we choose to love one another as He has loved us? Our life is a precious, precious gift. I read a story. As I was going through my lectionary, sometimes they have neat little stories in them. This one was about a small boy from India who had gone to the Queen's coronation. He was fascinated by the Queen. Why they let a small boy have a jewel like he had. He had a beautiful diamond, which became one of the crown jewels. He gave it to the Queen and he pledged his allegiance to her. Later, he was passing through and he requested an audience with the Queen. And he asked her if he could see the diamond that he had given her when he was a young child. And Peyton's okay. She's missing her mama. It's a little different. It's change. She's not sitting with Mama. She's back with Taylor and Alex and Ellery. So say a prayer for her. He asked the Queen if he could see the jewel. And she remembered the child. He had touched her heart when she gave it to him. And she knew that he had pledged allegiance to serve her and his country. So she let him see it. He turned it over and over again in his hand. He looked at all the facets of it. He held it up to the light and he said, "You know, when I was a child and I gave this to you, I didn't know how valuable it was." Now, I'm reading this and I'm thinking he's going to ask for it back. But no. He says, "Today, I know how valuable it is. I also know how valuable that pledge of allegiance that I made as a 9-year-old boy is." He got on his knees before his queen and he said, "I now offer you this jewel back and I offer it to you with love, with respect." What would happen if each and every one of us offered our life back to our God? What would happen if each and every one of us dedicated our life to God? When we are baptized, most of us were baptized as children. Some of us When we became Christian, baptism is God's work of grace upon us, but it is our response to everything that He has done in our lives that we are willing to offer Him our lives, that we are willing to pledge to Him our love. We are going to have opportunity in a few minutes to remember our baptism. And I'm going to ask you, what are you going to give back to God? Are you going to dedicate your life to God? Are you going to give your hopes and dreams to God? Lay them in His hands and ask Him to direct you as you follow those hopes and dreams. Are you going to give your fears to God and leave them there? Moving forward, trusting that nothing on this earth can separate you from Him. I am reminded in doing this of the powerful hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. And also of one of my favorite verses. I love Joshua 1:9, where we are told to have courage. But even more so, I love Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Jesus Christ Himself promised that. I hope you remember that each and every time you take the precious gift of Holy Communion. He promised to be with us until the end of the age. He promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So no matter what we go through in this life, no matter what we are faced with, and some of you are faced with things that are very difficult. Some of you were dealt a hand that was unfair. But our good and gracious God offered up His one and only Son, and He took upon Himself all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, so that we might be reconciled with God our Father. And isn't that the only thing that really matters? I ask you to join me in the following song, singing at the top of your lungs, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. And I invite you to think about what you will offer God. Because after our profession of faith, you're going to be asked. If you still hold to the vows that you made to your church a long time ago, you are going to be asked to remember your baptismal vows. And I'm going to ask each of you to silently offer something up to our God.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior.